Well, we're not done praying because now it's time to acknowledge the moms. We get to ask the moms out there to stay standing up. The rest of you can sit down temporarily. So, let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for these ladies who have impacted lives, have brought life to us and our children, others. Lord, we ask that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you would give them wisdom and long-suffering, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would direct their prayers for their children. Now, anybody out there who has had a mom, please stand up. Yeah, it better be all of you, or else somebody out there's an alien or something. So. Lord, pray for all of these, Lord, that we would be thankful. Lord, I'm sure there are many imperfect moms in the lives of this congregation, and yet we're alive because of these women. Lord, I pray that we would honor our mothers, whether they're here, whether they're in another state, whether they're already with you. Lord, that we would recall the blessings and give you the hurts. In Jesus' name, the name above all names, we pray. Amen. You may sit. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get today, and so I'm not going to be reading on from what we had. I do plan on getting a lot further than verse 4, though. So for those of you who don't know me, since we've got visitors here, I teach the youth here at Calvary. And I also have a home fellowship, and we're currently going through Proverbs. And so it was about almost 2 months ago, I think Bob was going to Mexico, I believe, and asked me to teach. And so I taught on where we were right then in Proverbs. And then, you know, other opportunities have come on. So I've continued from that point, but I never went back to introduce the book. Well, this is our introduction to the book of Proverbs. This is my encouragement for those of you who have not really considered what God is doing in Proverbs, that you would consider it in a different light today. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here is our introduction, and it answers right off the bat the question who. When you're studying God's word, you can ask simple questions. Who, when, where, what, how, why? And the answer to the question who, right off the bat, is Solomon. He introduces himself. In 1 Kings 4:32, we read that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. So this collection contains some of those proverbs. Solomon wrote, he collected, he gathered from others, he modified, you know, what somebody else might have said in the past. And we see that two of the chapters here are going to be attributed to other men, Agur and Lemuel. And there's debate. Some say, oh, those are nicknames for Solomon. And others, you know, these were, you know, kings elsewhere in the world who recognized the God of, you know, for them, the God of Noah, the creator. And they wrote some wise things, and Solomon gathered these together and included them later in the book. But our main focus is going to be on Solomon throughout this book. It seems that this was written in his younger, maybe middle ages. And we know that because, unfortunately, part of the answer to the question who was Solomon did not practice what he preached. He did not apply this to his lifestyle later on in his life. And he suffered the consequences because of that. Not only did he suffer the consequences, his children, who he was teaching, his son especially, followed dad's example and not dad's advice. And, you know, that shouldn't surprise us. You know, our lives, that makes us think. Our lives need to be not only what we say, but what we do. And so Solomon knew God's word and did not apply it to his life. Well, we can't discount the book because there are a couple other answers to the question who. It's not stated in verse 1, but one of the answers to the question who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired this book. The Holy Spirit placed these verses where the Spirit wanted them. Our Western minds, we will read through Proverbs, and sometimes we think, you know, this is all mixed up. In fact, some commentaries that you can get on the book of Proverbs, they'll arrange it topically. They'll have a chapter on all the verses on money. Well, unfortunately, it's not all the verses. It's just ones they select. And then the next chapter will be selected verses on family, and the next chapter, you know, selected verses on work ethic and whatnot. Well, as believers, we are called to read God's word, study God's word, meditate on God's word. So we work through it, you know, verse by verse. And sometimes we wonder, why is it in this order? The Holy Spirit knows, because a third answer to the question who is us. All of us in this room, the Holy Spirit knows when we are going to read those verses. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. In fact, this morning, as I'm going through just a portion of this book, the Spirit knows that, you know, man, Lance, you really need this verse. But your daughter sitting right next to you, I want her to pay attention to this other verse. And, you know, we got somebody here, verse 4, verse 3, verse 12. The Spirit will speak to us if we are open to the Spirit's leading. We prayed for the Spirit to lead, and He will. And so, continuing on, verse 2. This tells us what? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. What is the purpose of this book? Wisdom is one of the overarching themes of the book of Proverbs. Seeking wisdom and the disadvantages, the penalties, the ramifications of not seeking wisdom. The Hebrew word for proverb can also be translated parable. Its basic meaning is a comparison. And so these verses are comparisons, which is common with Hebrew poetry. In Hebrew poetry, unlike, you know, when we think American poetry, we think rhymes. And we might think, oh, poetry can't teach us anything, but, you know, those of you old enough, you remember conjunction, junction, what's your function? I mean, so we learn things through poetry, through song. And here with Hebrew poetry, it's the comparison. It's teaching wisdom using contrasts. And so you'll notice the word but in a lot. You know, X but Y. There are other ones that, you know, they teach through reinforcement. You know, we're building blocks. You're going up. We got this block, foundational, then the next one, then the next one. And there's that comparison there. And so part of our observation when we, and when you on your own, go through Proverbs, is to look at what's being compared here. Proverbs are great at what they are, a proverb. They're not prophecies. They're not systematic theologies. It's not a magical formula. They bring wisdom to us, but it's not by, you know, repeating it or... We even know the Proverbs itself tells us, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. And so just knowing a proverb and saying a proverb doesn't guarantee a proverb. In fact, if you're going to name and claim a proverb as a promise, you better know your Hebrew. Because one other thing about poetry, you know, whatever language it is, you're using adverbs and adjectives that aren't always used. And so you'll see something and it'll puzzle you, and you gotta dig in, you gotta say, what's the implication of this? Part of studying. So we have here the call to know wisdom. And that word know is continual know. It's, you know, it's a continual process. And so we need to work on this, and you read Proverbs over and over again. It is always new. I've found when I read Proverbs, it seems that different verses will pop up. And so one month I might read Proverbs and, you know, verse 13 just hits me right in the forehead like a 2x4. Months later, I'll read that chapter. Oh boy, verse 19, in the heart. The next year, verse 2 is comforting me. You'll never grow tired of reading Proverbs if you read and think about them. In fact, one thing to throw out, because I know some of you are on the plan of, you know, reading a chapter every day, because there's 31 chapters and a month is 31 days, and so it seems like a good plan. But even then, sometimes you will overload. There's just too much there, and you need to realize that, you know, maybe I need to take approximately 10 verses and chew on it and meditate and think about it and, you know, be comforted or convicted or you know, equipped. And then the next day, I'll read the next 10 or 12 verses. And so don't feel that, okay, I got to read all 33 verses. Work your way through it. Think about it. These are meant to be thought about. In fact, most Proverbs, especially after chapter 10, are single verses. So unlike other books where we're reading, you know, a historical account that might be a couple chapters, or we're reading something by Paul, a teaching that you got to go through the whole paragraph. Here, you might read a verse and you got to stop. You got to think. So, you know, if you feel you're overloading, you might be. You know, stop and think as you read Proverbs. Now, I'm going to try and do more than one chapter today, because I'm not overloading you. I'm just preparing you to read through this slowly during the rest of the week, to think about what we're looking at. Verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To receive, to take in, to accept. This is not just head knowledge. This is not written here so that you might win a Bible trivia game one time. This is meant to be received, to be accepted, to be taken in. Take in this wisdom. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, you know, the gullible, the naive, yeah, to help them stop and think. You know, they haven't thought through, somebody who's simple hasn't thought through the implications. And so Solomon wants his audience to think through what they're reading. And now we get one more answer to the question who. To the young man, or I like the translation that says, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. As I mentioned, I teach the youth here at Calvary. It is a privilege to discuss with them, to answer their questions, to question them, to make them think. And this book is written to them. This is for the youth. In fact, 2 weeks ago, those of you who were in my class, you know, we looked at almost a dozen verses out of Proverbs on peer pressure. So there's a lot being said here. And the target audience, now some of us older people can't say, oh, I'm off the hook. This is only for the young. Now, we're never tired of learning. We got to keep on learning. But this is to the youth. And I mean, there's some, you know, hard things in here about sexual predators, about laziness, about negative peer pressure. And it's here, and our youth need it, but we all need it, don't we? Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So, again, it's not limited to the simple. It's not limited to the youth. It's for the wise. You are never too old, and you are never too smart for the book of Proverbs. To understand the proverb and an enigma, you know, a dark saying. Some would say, you know, it's one of those things you puzzle over, you think about what is exactly going on in this enigma. But the purpose of this book is to help understand those things. You can't skip over it. You can't just say, oh, this is too tough, I'm going to go to something easy. Man, you got to deal with it. And wisdom lets us deal with it. And if you don't have wisdom, James tells us, if any lack wisdom, ask God. He will give. Verse 7, one of the key verses to the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We have a contrast here. The fool and those who fear the Lord. Of course, the question comes up, what is the fear of the Lord? You know, it's not a cowering fear. I always like to think respect, awe, and fear. I fear electricity. Now, I can't control God, but I can control electricity. But, you know, if I'm going to do some work on it, I'm going to make sure the breaker is off. Now, there is no breaker with God. But I'll turn off the breaker. I'll flick the switch, you know, to turn on the light. Or, you know, sometimes in my house, even at my age, I'm still going through and turning off the lights. But I have a healthy respect for electricity. We need a healthier respect for the Lord, because it is the beginning. It is the starting point. It is the foundation of wisdom. And, you know, a foundation, you build your house on the rock. You don't start on the foundation and then leave it. That house is built on the rock. Same here. The fear of the Lord is your foundation. It's your starting point. But it is what your house is grounded on. And fools have the wrong foundation. They build on the sand. They despise wisdom. They despise instruction. And so the challenge here is, you know, if you're highlighting, this is one of the key verses. We might get to another one today. I don't think so, looking at the clock. But, you know, Well, let's move on. We're going to move on. Now, remember, Solomon, this is to the youth, to the young man, he's got a son. It was pointed out, here's a man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And we only have a record left of one child who is named Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was a fool. And so I can kind of, you know, think through, I get the inflection of Solomon as he's speaking to his son. And so kind of get that in your mind, you know. I picture, you know, Rehoboam, you know, he's sitting on the couch, he's got his arms folded, he's got his AC/DC t-shirt on, and, you know, he's just scowling, and Solomon is just going, my son, verse 8, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Here's your Mother's Day verse for the day. Man, don't forsake, you know, my youth group out there, I see you. Don't forsake your mom. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they would be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. You know, hear my teaching, kids. Hear my teaching, Rehoboam. This, yeah, it takes time to teach. It's more than spankings or timeouts or, you know, taking away their Xbox or whatever they're playing nowadays. It is the extra work of teaching, of giving that child, that young adult, that 20-something, you know, wisdom and counsel. And moms and dads are part of the team to teach that child. In verse 10, we see the first topic now that Solomon is going to bring up to his son. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Just say no. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kind of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Issue number one, and I'm wondering if Solomon is already recognizing, man, my son, he's got a weakness in this area of peer pressure. You know, he's got these people coming up, you know, the kids, the rich, you know, sons of palace officials, and they're coming up and saying, hey, join us. Notice how many times us is mentioned. Be part of the group, you know, be part of the gang. You know, hey, Rehoboam, when you're a jet from your first cigarette, you know, and isn't this what's happening, though? They're saying, hey, join us. You know, belong to us. Be part of our group. Man, follow us. Click subscribe. You know, let us lurk secretly. Go into private mode on your, you know, YouTube or search engine or whatnot. Check out these sites. Check out this person who's an influencer. Join the club. Easy money. Man, here's the warning. And Solomon, I hear the cry here. Don't walk in the way with them. Don't consent. As, you know, Rehoboam sitting there with his arms crossed and a scowl on his face. I'm picking on Rehoboam. I think it's worth picking on Rehoboam if you know anything about him and how he wrecked the kingdom by listening to the wrong peer group. Don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Hey, students, as you're going through the book of Proverbs, this is something to watch for. You watch for wisdom. You watch for the word fool. Watch for the contrast. Watch for the mention of the way or the path or, you know, the road. Jesus even talked about, you know, the narrow gate and the narrow way and the broad way to destruction. It's not something that, you know, came up in the first century AD. You know, the Holy Spirit was inspiring Solomon to talk about, hey, you've got two ways to go. You need to choose the correct way. And he continues to warn about, you know, these kids at school. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood, verse 16. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Man, don't walk with them. They're killing themselves. And things come to mind, you know, gang activity. I mean, drugs. They're killing themselves. Man, don't walk in the way with them. You know, you're in my youth group. Don't walk in the way of them. You're adults, your grandparents. Don't walk in the way of them. I hear stories, retirees, all of a sudden, they're going and they're finding, you know, the peer group. Maybe old high school girlfriends. Too much time on their hands. And so this isn't limited to youth, but hey, to the young man, wisdom and discretion. To the youth, wisdom. Something else we see in the book of Proverbs, and as you're going to study it on your own after this introduction, we're going to see now, starting in verse 20, it's going to be wisdom personified. So in verse 20, it begins, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Notice, wisdom, unlike the Gnostics in the first century who say, oh, this is kind of secret stuff, and you know, you got to be part of our secret club to learn the secret stuff. No, wisdom is out in the open. It's out in the public square. It's not some secret society. It's there. Will we go and seek wisdom? It's in the book of Proverbs. You want to find wisdom? Spend time in Proverbs. So she's calling aloud. Verse 22, how long, you simpler ones, will you love simplicity? I notice there's a lot of simplicity nowadays. I've noticed, you know, the sound bites, we'll call it. Yeah, we no longer get, you know, well thought out arguments. We'll get a little sound bite. YouTube shorts. You know, now things are geared to, you know, 10, 20 seconds of a attention span. You know, it's no longer geared to well thought out arguments. I don't do TikTok. My understanding is they're very short. But people pay attention, simple ones. How long will you love simplicity? Man, if you want wisdom, you got to go beyond simplicity. For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Fools love emotion. They hate knowledge. I noticed a couple interviews recently about some of the issues going on. And, you know, college students are being asked, why are you protesting? What exactly are you protesting about? And they're kind of like, well, and then one of them, the girl even turns to another girl and says, what are we protesting about? You know, there's a hatred of knowledge. There's a hatred of research. We as Christians need to be people of the book. We need to be people who know why we believe. We need to be people who hunger for knowledge and wisdom. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Change direction, repent, turn at my rebuke. And you will learn. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. This is how the foolish are responding to wisdom. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Whoa, this seems harsh. Wisdom, that's kind of harsh of you. But, you know, I also will. Wisdom is saying, man, you are laughing at me. You are mocking me. One day, the tables will turn. I see judgment coming, wisdom says. And you've mocked me, and one day I'm going to say, hey, now it's your turn. Verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. You know, Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, don't think, man, I'll just put this off till the last minute. 29. Again, they hated knowledge, it tells us. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember our key verse? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Elsewhere it'll tell us the fear of the Lord connected to wisdom. Elsewhere we'll read the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I did not write it down. I think the fear of the Lord is mentioned 9 times in the book of Proverbs. Clearly, it is important for the youth that are learning this, and it's important for all of us to realize, man, I need to understand and have a proper knowledge of the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Their own way, their own fancies. They will reap what they have sown. That's, you know, a biblical piece of wisdom. They will reap what they have sown. They can't blame others. In the end, they can't say, well, I'm a victim. We live in a victim mentality country right now. Everything is about being a victim. But here it's very clear. No, they're not a victim. This is their own responsibility. This is their own. They got to own what they do, to play on words. They got to own it. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, and here's the contrast to end chapter, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Well, I'm not going to go long today. It's Mother's Day. You need to get out there. I'm thinking some moms, though, you know, are probably still cleaning the kitchen after their kids prepared a breakfast for them. But I do want you now to stop and think and ask the question, so what? So what? Okay, we went through one chapter of Proverbs. So what? What applies to me? Something in this chapter applies to each one of us here. Something in every chapter of the Bible applies to us. You know, we may scratch our heads sometimes and say, Lord, I don't get what's going on here. Help me. Give me wisdom. Lord, why did you include this historical account? It's gross. I don't want my youth to read this story. You know, they're there for us to learn. All of this is here for us to learn and to, in some cases, struggle with, and some cases be convicted by, in some cases just be comforted by it. And you say, oh, Lord, thank you for just giving me wisdom, for helping me understand how to deal with this problem, how to deal with this person, how I would serve you, how I would love you more. And it's here. So my call now to you is, what is the personal application here? How does this apply to you? What here challenges you? Is it that wisdom's calling out? Is it that you're undergoing peer pressure right now? And you've got them saying, hey, cast in your lot among us. Let us lurk secretly. You know, check out this website in secret mode. Is it that you have just been glossing over this and now you realize, man, I got to slow down and I got to read and I've got to take this in? It is here for us. So my encouragement, man, read God's word. Go through God's word. Take your time. It's not a race. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And, man, don't be a Rehoboam. Listen to the wisdom. Listen to your moms. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would guide our steps, that you would open our eyes, Lord, that we would take your word in, that we would chew on it, that we'd meditate, that we would be challenged, that we would be comforted, that we would grow in you, so that we can encourage others, so we can serve the body of Christ. Lord, we ask that you would direct us as we leave this building, as we go into our mission field today. Guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have the final song,